Hello and welcome to Midwest Ghost Town Season 2, Episode 11, The Rural Adventure. This is Dan, I'm your host, your history enthusiast, ghost town adventurer, and storyteller. We love hearing from all of our listeners. You can reach us here at MidwestGhostTown@gmail.com. That's MidwestGhostTown@gmail.com. And we have a listener that has reached out a few times and actually met me for a drink. How cool is that? History is one of those things that I think transcends generations. It allows people to open up, share stories, discuss, learn. And the cool thing is that I had John, who is the YouTuber Rural Adventurer. He joined me for a session at the local brewery here in Sheldon, Iowa, called the Brew House. Brew House spelled B-R-E-U-H-A-U-S, which I believe is a traditional German spelling of that. Am I right on that one?
Yeah, I believe so.
And this was fantastic. They served both different microbrews, coffee, and it was great because here we are, two fellow adventurers doing YouTube stuff, podcast stuff on either small towns or ghost towns. And as John and I are sipping on our beverages, getting to know each other, sharing bits and pieces of information, he goes into a story of a couple ghost towns that he has covered. And of course, we will go into both of those here in a second, but I just want to do a short introduction, if you don't mind. So I have here with me John. He is, again, like I said earlier, the Rural Adventurer, RURALADVENTURER.
I can subscribe.
I love it. So, John, I'm just going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself. Who are you? What are you? What do you do? I mean, it's awesome.
You go back far enough. I started out putting a GoPro on my head and walking around on abandoned properties and just kind of seeing what's there. Concerns about the T word, trespassing.
Right.
Kind of sidelined a lot of that. I haven't completely walked away from it, but it's a lot harder to seek out permission from the property owner than it is to just simply pull your car over and go walking around. So it makes it a lot more difficult doing it properly.
Right. It's a safety issue too, right?
So absolutely, yes.
And I know I talk about on some of my stuff about the ghost town 10 commandments, right? Just kind of being safe as far as that goes, also from a legal standpoint, but I love your stuff, by the way. And so just so listeners know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put his information down in the description below. Check him out. Cool guy, cool videos. And before, again, we get into the ghost town stuff, and we definitely have some for you. I see that you've done a little, not a change, so to speak, but you're kind of bringing in this new thing with photography. Especially like older pictures and so forth. Tell me a little bit about that and where you're going with it.
Yeah, it's just a natural evolution, moving away from just pulling over at random places and seeing what's there to more of a thoughtful approach, history, photography. I've always been interested in those things, and my YouTube channel is sort of a melting pot where all of these different somewhat disparate interests can kind of come together into an entertaining stew, if you will.
You know what, people love the subject, they do. And here's the thing, I always talk about this on my podcast, I talk about it on my YouTube channel as well. Okay, it's the story that matters, right? And if you're like me, and I know you are, because we've discussed this before, but when you look at some of these pictures, do you ever sit there and just kind of ponder, what is going on here in this picture? Well, what's the story?
I'm haunted every day by these questions. I look at my old antique pictures and wonder about who these people were. I drive up past an old property and wonder who lived there, what kind of life did they live? These were all people too, and you look at them as just these still images,
right?
But they were people who lived full lives, and I am deeply interested in their history and the lives they lived, to the point where the direction it's kind of gone now is studying the history of places and people. Rather than just walking around and looking, it's getting into the roots and the weeds of it.
I love it. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I mean, I've noticed that too, and I know I've alluded to it, and I've talked to many people on my channel about this as well. I mean, I can clearly go online and I could research towns. They're there, right? And I could list them all, I could show them all, and I could start going to place to place to place. Like, here it is, here it is, here's this grass field. This used to be, you know, the town of, you know, Reckonford, and this town over here is, and all of a sudden people are like, so what? But now when I start to say, but by the way, this is where, you know, Wild Bill Hickok was born, and then his last shootout was over, I mean, all of a sudden it changes everything, right?
Yep.
And now I'm making that up, of course, but, you know, but the stories is what matters. I agree.
Yep.
I agree. And so here I'm going to allude to the next thing. Here comes the ghost towns. For all of my Midwest ghost town listeners who love ghost towns, they're into ghost towns, they love the story, they love the history, here we go. So John and I were sipping and talking, and all of a sudden he says, have you ever been out to Kappa, South Dakota? You got to be out the south. And I said, no. What are you talking about? It's a must see. So one of these ghost towns that we were talking about that John went out and visited, and he did a video, and I will allude to that as well, and I'll show that a little bit. You should check his video out on his YouTube channel. It's pretty cool. One of these ghost towns was Kappa, South Dakota. And tell me about Kappa. Tell me what got you out there, what you found, what's the story?
I'd seen images of it online. They were a few years old. And there was a gentleman who lived there, and he would welcome people there. He had a guest book. He would come out with a guest book. Oh, if you pulled up, and he'd come out, and he would ask you to sign the guest book. And I was really looking forward to that interaction with him. He had lived there for decades. He lived inside of the old post office, the Kappa post office, which had been functional into the 70s at least. And I think he was
the postmaster.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
Yeah, he probably was. His mother was the postmaster, and then he became the postmaster. I went there hoping to meet him, and unfortunately, he had gone into a home 2 years prior, something like that. So what intrigued me also was just the buildings. A lot of ghost towns are ghost towns, you know, in name only. You know, there's you pull up and it's just an empty field or something. But this is a fairly complete ghost town. You can still walk into the buildings.
Amazing.
There's the old outhouses are still standing. Several homes are still standing. There's a church that was partially blown over. I believe the fire department burned that down recently, but when I was there, it was still partially standing. There was an old, what appeared to be a school. I think it was a school. There's an old pickup truck sitting out there. You have to take a back road for quite some time before you get there.
Just kind of knowing a little bit about this town. I mean, I know it once, I mean, according to the history, was a bustling town in Jones County. So it's in Jones County. But get this. So, because I didn't know either, and I wanted to make sure we got Philip O'Connor.
Yes. Right?
So there you go. So Philip O'Connor, yeah. It was the last person, you know, in this town. And what, I mean, you can Google this, by the way. You can find this. What a cool story. I mean, he was there for a long time. His grandparents purchased, at the time, a Grand Hotel, which was what they called it, the Grand Kappa Hotel, in 1916. And I guess it's, you know, I don't know if it's still standing or not.
It is.
Okay.
It's across the street. It's still standing. It's in the middle of a cow pasture now. It's on private property. The rest of Kappa is, I guess technically it's private property, but it's accessible. I went there assuming that since Phil had for so many years been welcoming of people that he wouldn't mind people continuing to visit. So I walked around. I met a YouTuber couple there, the Bud Files. That's B-U-D-D Files, husband and wife team, who goes on all kinds of adventures. They're from the western side of South Dakota, right on the border. He just knew all these things, and it was very fun to be there with them.
Of course. And of course, now we know, and I'm always careful, be sure, okay, if you're listening to this, like, hey, I want to go check this out. Sounds like a pretty cool ghost town. What I would do is just make sure that if it is on private land, which it sounds like it is now, that you just get the permission. And especially, you know, in some of these rural spots, you know, I think this is the place where we talked about that you were roaming around and all of a sudden, did you have like
speaking of safety, precautions. Yeah, we were walking around. There was an old, I think it was an old, the springs from an old mattress or something like that. It was in the grass. All of a sudden, I heard a. I looked down and there's a rattlesnake right at her feet. It had curled up inside of the springs for warmth or whatever, and it was just letting us know it was there, and so we backed away. But I got it on video, so extra adventure, a little more adventure than I would have cared for.
So just make sure again, permission, but also, you know, watch your steps if you're out there ghost towning, as I call it, and so forth. So, but that was Rubel, Iowa, and no Kappa.
We're getting to Rubel.
And this leads to Rubel, Iowa. So we've talked about this and going out to Rubel together to shoot some videos. So that's coming up. We have not been out there yet. And now we got part of the Midwest. You know, this kind of goes with a lot of the ghost towns. Some people said, well, there's nothing left. And I said, well, you know, the weather is harsh here in the Midwest. We get all sorts of weather. We get this extreme heat. We get the extreme cold. We get the extreme rains, the flooding, you know, you name it all. And so a lot of times, especially with these towns, that they might also just be on a farmland, that the land is more valuable than, you know, what's left standing, and they'll just raise.
They'll bulldoze it.
Yes. And so sometimes there's nothing left, right? But in the case of Rubel, there is some things left, which is pretty exciting. We'll go talk about that. But the plan is, of course, is that we're going to go out and we're going to go shoot some video. I get a chance to see Rubel when it gets nicer, because we have a snowstorm coming up this weekend.
Yay.
What? I mean, what? I'm like, we've been spoiled this year, really. I mean, it's been a mild winter, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Easter's around the corner, so you get 10 inches of snow. Thank you very much.
Did you see the old meme from the Karate Kid? The one with Jackie Chan?
No.
And it says, you know, put your jacket on, take your jacket off, put your jacket on, take it. That's Iowa.
That's
weather.
Iowa for you, right? and just to let our listeners know, you know, where John and I are located. We found each other by accident. We're like, yeah, where are you from? I'm from Northwest Iowa. Well, me too. Our location we're at makes, you know, going to small towns, rural, doing all this, ghost towns. A lot of times they say we live in a tri-state area. We really live in a quad state area. So where we're located in Northwest Iowa, we can easily get to Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota, and of course Iowa just in an hour.
Or minutes. Yeah. From where I'm at, I can be in South Dakota in a matter of minutes.
So Rubel, Iowa, let's talk about this. Again, we've talked about it. Going out to shoot the video, tell the story. You already did one video. And you spoke to a genealogy group in Plymouth County, Iowa, where Rubel is located.
Yes.
Tell me what put Rubel on the map for you, what you found, and what's the story?
Well, as briefly as I can, my friends and I would drive past it on the way to, like, Sioux Falls for a day trip.
Where is it at?
It's located between Lamars, Iowa, and Akron, Iowa.
Okay.
It's much closer to Akron. It's 4 miles outside to the east of Akron.
Sure.
So we would take that road to heading towards Sioux Falls, and we'd kind of make fun of the place a little bit. Young men kind of make fun of things that they don't understand, and we would kind of say, you know, hey, there's Rubel. What, I missed it? Oh, you must have blinked. Whatever.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Sure.
It's two buildings, or three buildings, basically. It's just a little tiny, like a 3-acre lot, 2 acres possibly, on the corner of a section, and right next to the old Highway 3. We passed by, and it would always make me wonder about the history. Privately, I was always wondering about it. And many years later, after I started this channel, one of my first goals that I wrote down a whole list of things. Physically with a pen. One of them was tell the history of Rubel. It was kind of a pie in the sky thing. I didn't think it would ever happen, but it just so happened that I had an opportunity to get the owner's phone number.
Nice.
And contacted her. She still lives on the property.
Fantastic.
And she trusted me with the history of her family, basically. She gave me totes full of pictures, newspaper clippings. There's an old ledger. Photocopied ledger from the school. There's a school, country school, on the property goes from like 1900 into the 50s, and it shows like 3 pounds of coal, 35 cents, 2 boxes of chalk, 15 cents. You typically view history from like a macro lens.
Yes.
Like, you know, Abraham Lincoln gave the Emancipation Proclamation.
Big picture.
You know, big picture. You don't look at it in terms of like, you know, the White House ordered, you know, 200 bars of hand soap in 1864.
Yeah, and that paper he was writing on, you know.
Exactly. Abraham Lincoln had roast duck and mashed potatoes for lunch that day.
Would that be something?
Unless you're in a very specific field of history, you don't really see history like that. And it was really cool to flip through this old book and see these little microtransactions. You know, paying Mr. So-and-so $1 a month to mow the lawn.
I love it. And it's true.
It's crazy. It was crazy.
Because there's little stories there.
There is. And that's the obsession. That's my obsession.
Yes.
These little stories. Everyone's heard the big stories. I want to know about Ruble. You know, I want to know about the little stories that are still historically significant.
Yeah, me too. And I'm right with you on that one. I really feel, you know, when I say the saying on my website, let's keep history alive, right?
Absolutely.
I came up with that on a whim, and I wasn't, you know, trying to like just, I wasn't even trying to like get a saying, so to speak, but I kept on saying that because I meant it in my heart. It's like, let's keep history alive. What do I mean by that? We can have this discussion that we're talking about, the stories, and all of a sudden you're like, what? Ruble, by the way, I did get a little piece here. It's located on Broken Kettle Creek, which I was like, well, that's interesting. 7 miles west of Brunsville, established September 1st, 1900.
1900, yeah.
Get this. This is what really gets me, okay? So John R. Jeffers as the postmaster, and that was discontinued 6 years later. April 30th, 1906. There's still several buildings left, as we mentioned. I just thought that was pretty cool. One of the things that really caught my attention, though, and this is what I'm really excited to see and get footage on, is the Ruble store.
Yes.
So on that it says H.C. Marbach, General Merchandise. And that got my attention because I'm like, the building, of course, is still standing. I think I even saw maybe at one time they had, maybe it operated as a gas station or something.
Yes.
I see a little Sinclair.
Yep.
You know, so tell me about that.
So H.C. Marbach was Henry Marbach. He did not build the store. It was built, I believe Jeffers built the store. He bought the land, a couple acres of land from a guy named John Ruble, who was a Civil War veteran. He owned a lot of the land in that area. He was able to buy a couple acres, and then he put the store up. I'm not sure when the school was built.
Is that school still standing?
The school's still standing.
Wow.
It was there prior to the store. It changed hands a couple of times in a short amount of time. And then Henry Marbach, who was a German immigrant, he bought out his partner's share in the store. He co-owned the store with someone, bought that share out. He unfortunately passed away due to Spanish flu in 1918. He left his widow and 5 children. I have a video. There's a whole bunch of history there.
Yeah.
Take a look at that. But he left his wife and his children to run the store due to tragic circumstances. And he also left them $9,000 in debt, which at the time would have been a colossal sum of money.
Huge.
Especially for a widow by herself. Her name is Mady Johnson, who became Mady Marbach. But she absolutely crushed it. It's a really cool story. She was able to secure loans from her neighbors. Wherever she could get them, she got loans. She paid that debt off. Worked from 6 in the morning till midnight every day, raising 5 kids and running the store, and got all of those loans paid off. And she began a high water mark for the store that lasted about a decade before her unfortunate passing at a fairly young age as well. She died of appendicitis. She was 47 or something like that.
Yeah. Something. And, you know, you brought up the Spanish flu, of course, and these are always stories that I hear, you know, if I'm walking through a rural cemetery and I'm going through it and you see like, wow, this is interesting. I've got like a whole family right here. This one passed away on this date. And then 3 days later, and then all of a sudden a month later, yep. And then you start to ponder, you're like, what happened? Right. Okay. So you hit a big one, but some other ones, of course, you can hear all sorts of past diseases, with epidemics, pioneers coming across the plain, you know, scarlet fever.
Yep.
But again, it's, we'll allude to it, the story. If you're listening to this channel, I just want to just encourage you, join the conversation. You can comment below. Love to hear it. Also, if there's areas that you're like, hey, there's a little town, a ghost town that's probably unheard of, it's over here, by all means, you know, let us know. And
absolutely,
this was a really cool thing that happened to John. He told me this. He said, I went to go speak with, what, how many, 70? 70 people?
There were 70 people, yeah.
So 70 people came last week, I believe, to go listen to him give a talk on Ruble. And this was like a genealogy club or
genealogy group, yeah.
I love it. Love it. And just because that's my thing too. I get their fascination and their love of, you know, what I call like heritage history. Okay.
Yep.
And this is a thing too, heritage, tourism, and travel. This is why I'm always like marking on all my sites, whether it's Midwest Ghost Town or I have Midwest Small Town coming up. The reason why I do this is because I know that it matters for some people. I just had a conversation last night online. Someone was telling me about a small ghost town, which is now just a cemetery. The town's no longer there, up kind of around the Medora, North Dakota area, around the Badlands in North Dakota. We just got in this full conversation like, yeah, my grandpa is buried there, or, you know, we lived there. And I'm just like, wow. So the connections, those people come to listen to you speak. All right. And tell me what happened. They were telling you about different towns and things like that.
I had a little speech about my history in the area, my family's history in the area. I figured they would be very interested in that. I segued into my relationship with the owner of Ruble. I was stalling for a while. I felt like I couldn't deliver on the promise that I had made, and I didn't feel like I had the skills. And every time I would stall, she would say, "It's okay. I believe in you." And it really helped me get through that period.
I loved your video, by the way. And I will put that down as well. Do check out that Ruble video. You did a really good job. And, you know, there's going to be some people who are like years of professionals doing videography. Listen, people don't care. They want the story, right? And I thought you did a good job. I loved what you're doing with your B-roll on that, getting the pictures in there, by the way. Good job.
Most of the still pictures in that video come from her collection. Her historical archive. I was incredibly blessed to have that loaned to me and trusted.
Well, I'm feeling
what was the original? What was the, we got way off. Where were we?
Yeah. I always talk about, you know, taking these little trails, you know, and going off on a tangent, the story about, the small towns that they're kind of pointing to.
Yes. And then yes, afterwards, several people came up to me and, you know, people in their 70s, 80s who had been around and lived in this area forever. And they said, hey, you know, 3 miles south, there's a such and such ghost town.
I'm like, you're like, there is?
There is, yeah. Is there anything still standing? Oh, yeah, there's the old post office is still standing or whatever it was. And then if you go west from there, you know, 3 miles, there's another place. And I had no idea that a lot of this stuff was right under my nose in the midst of these things, and don't really think much of it until someone comes along with a passion for it. And then it kind of sparks something in them as well.
Absolutely. And especially if you get a chance, you know, just, I mean, it brings up the past story, stuff that they might have forgot, like, oh, I remember when I was a kid and we were riding bikes down by the creek, yep, down over there. And is it creek or is it creek, by the way?
Yeah, I've always said creek, but I don't know what debate. The proper vernacular is.
We have this debate all the time here at the college here. We're like, do you say creek or do you say crick? And I'm like, it's a crick. I'm like, where were you born?
do you wash your hands or do you wash
your
hands?
Them?
But no, another thing was just the stories about Ruble itself. like you said, it was a gas station 20 years after it was built. It was definitely a gas station and remained as such. And the Sinclair sign that it was kind of famous for, that got put up.
So the name that's on the building, that was it.
That was that the only thing that changed was the first letters.
Okay.
It was HC and then it was MM. I believe there were other initials.
And they had advertising on the side of that building, almost like a billboard. I on a different video, I don't even know if it's the same, but at one time they had like flower being advertised.
Flowers still, the Red Hood. Red Robin. I'm thinking burgers.
Burgers, right?
Robin Hood flower sign is still there. It's very weathered, but it is there. In the video, I kind of get up close to it and show you, but unfortunately, they had put some I don't know if it was like asbestos tiles or whatever, they'd put those up in the 60s, I believe. And those remained on the building for a couple of decades until the owner, after the place had closed, decided to remove them just to see the old signage and stuff again. Okay. And unfortunately, that led to it degrading.
For those of you listening again, thanks for following along. You definitely can subscribe if you're interested in this. It's not all about that as much. I'm just thankful that you're here. We look at ourselves here at Midwest Ghost Town as a community. So we love the comments. I love hearing from you as well. You can reach out to me at midwestghosttown@gmail.com. You can check out my website as well, which is midwestghosttown.com. And of course, we're on YouTube. Same. And of course, we are here with the Rural Adventurer today. And again, you can check out his site as well, which I'll put in the description, and just really cool stuff. He loves the discussion as well. Reach out to either one of us. We'd love to kind of see your area. If you've got some stories, there's the key right there. If you got some stories with a ghost town or an abandoned place, we'd love to know about it. Go ahead and comment below, or you can go ahead and reach out to those emails. And again, like I said before, we're just like a big community here, and we just kind of love hearing from you and kind of knowing that story. And you heard from John, and he was talking about he had this connection with the owner of the land that's where Rubel stands now, and got pretty close with her. And guess what? That's kind of the name of the game, because we don't know these stories until we develop a relationship and that trust thing, right? That what are you going to do with the story? Well, a lot of these places are gone. A lot of the people that were living there that were the lives, that were the leaders and the town people are gone, but their families are still around. And so we want to be entrusted with those stories, that we can tell those stories in a way that shines a positive light on that, to remember and to respect, right? So anytime like I go into a cemetery, it's the same thing. I come upon a grave, I'm like, hey, here's a story of so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. He was the first person that built a church in this town, and it became a town, and he was the first pastor. And guess what? I could tell a story, and somehow his great-granddaughter gets a hold of, you know, it's like, wow, what do you know? Tell me a little bit more about that relationship before we close up, because I think it's a cool story, and I can't wait to do a video with you on Rubel. Rubel, I'm on my way. I'm going to go with John, and I'm going to expand upon this a little bit.
We are, and Dan here, he has permission. I've already cleared it.
Sweet.
So we're going to go in the store. We're going to poke our heads into the school, because unfortunately the roof is given way, and the floorboards are a little too rotten to be walking around on. But I have some cool news. This is in its very early infancy, but we have started the Restore Rubel initiative. I made up that name myself, the RRI, but that's not the official name. But we haven't even started taking money or volunteers or anything yet, but it's we're gonna get there. Yes, we're going to fix the roofs on both buildings, and we're going to work our way down from there and to get those buildings functional, not functional as a store, but functional as a space where people can enter, and perhaps we'll have like old artifacts set up there from the history of the buildings.
It's almost like a museum.
Like a museum, like a walk-in.
I love it.
Like a living museum.
I love it.
And we don't have any direction right now, but the one thing that came from that talk I gave was this newfound enthusiasm. Several people suggested, you know, hey, maybe we can get this place fixed up. Maybe we can make this place live a little bit again. We can make it a place where people can visit, you know, legitimately and learn about the past of Rubel and the school, the store, the people who live there. Those people are still there. I don't believe in like literal ghosts, but I do believe like those people are still part of that property in some way, shape, or form. And I think it would be amazing to see that place come to life again.
If you're listening and you're interested in what he's talking about, I'm going to include his email in that description as well, so you can reach him if that's something that you love to give. I think that's a fantastic idea. And, you know, kind of like as we're wrapping up here, I just want to thank you for coming in. I think this is awesome. I just want to encourage you, if this is something you love history, you love the history of ghost towns, you love abandoned places, you might love cemeteries, you love heritage, travel, tourism, you know, consider subscribing. But again, like I said before, it's about the stories, and what we're trying to do here, especially in Midwest Ghost Town, is share those stories. And like we say here, let's keep history alive. This is Midwest Ghost Town.